Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Monday, the May 2nd.
We're in May now.
Monday, the May 2nd. Time's going quick.
Yeah.
I feel like it was New Year's like a week ago.
Right.
A couple weeks ago. A week ago is a little much. But
How do you, and this is going to sound like a weird question, but how do you experience the year? And by that, I mean, I went to high school, and then I went to college, and now I teach high school. And so for me, it's just like the year starts in September and then ends in like May, June. So for me, it's like the end of the year. Do you still have that sort of vision at all, or does it just kind of blur together when you have like a normal job?
I would say I don't know when it starts/ends, but there's cold and miserable, which is January.
Yeah.
And then when baseball starts, that's like, oh, it's getting close to summer. And then actual summer hits, and that's at the point where I'm like, baseball's fun, but let's get to football season.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's football season, then it's cold again. That's how I view the year.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Interesting.
We're in the baseball's fun part and the NFL draft part, so we're not sick of baseball yet.
That's good.
I mean, yeah.
It's got to be fun while it can.
I enjoy it. The Giants are doing well. The NFL draft's probably my favorite football thing of the year. Unless, because the Niners usually bum me out. So that's probably my favorite thing of the year. Had an awesome weekend watching it, recapping it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So first things first are March Madness. That's another like big thing on the calendar is March Madness too. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more than baseball.
For sure.
March Madness bracket winner, Ty Park, our buddy, I think more me than you.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
He's awesome. Fun guy. He won the March Madness bracket. So we have his interview. We just went through some of our favorite picks, like in the first round, mid-round picks, favorite teams draft. That's about 20 minutes or so. And then Matt and I are going to just go through literally every team in the NFL draft. Some are going to take about 20 seconds, some 2 or 3 minutes. The either really good or really bad ones are going to be a few minutes. If you just did average, probably run by it quick. But yeah, we're going to cover every team. Looking forward to it. Again, love the draft, love team building, love the strategy of it. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. So here's the interview with Ty Park. All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake. Reminder, we are presented by Ghost Golf. Hit the link in my bio. You get a 10% discount, awesome belts, golf clubs. Pretty much anything you can think of, you can wear on a golf course. So check them out, Ghost Golf. We are joined by our 2022 March Madness bracket winner and my pal, Ty Park. Ty, we're glad you finally got on, man.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Ty and I are in a heated battle to win the 2026 Fantasy League Championship in our Dynasty League.
Yeah, both our teams are not looking very hot about right now, but no, I'm optimistic about the future.
A lot of draft picks.
Yes.
A lot of draft picks. No, man, yeah. And Ty and I were actually watching the draft together at some of our other friends' houses before I had to go to the Jazz game, which is a bummer. We're just going to run through kind of our thoughts on the draft, Ty. What was your favorite pick in the first round? We'll start with the first round and then go to the whole draft.
Yeah, I'd say probably my favorite pick. I mean, it's tough to miss in the first round. Well, I guess that's not true. You can screw it up, but all these guys are the best of the best. But I'd say my favorite value towards the beginning of the draft is the offensive tackle, Evan Neal, out of Alabama. I think the Giants got great value there. It seemed like he was on and off projected to be the number one overall pick. Kind of dropped a little bit the week leading up to the draft. I think they scored there with him.
Yeah, I agree. He, like you said, was at one point not like in the conversation to be the number one pick. I think he's the best overall tackle. I would have taken him over Aquano and Charles Cross. And he, mm-hmm. the Giants got him at 7, which I think is awesome for them.
Yeah.
My favorite pick was Kyle Hamilton to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect fit. I think he's the clear and away best safety in a year where there's not a lot of consensus like this is the best player at XYZ position. And they just, he fell into their lap in 14. It's just like a Baltimore thing. They're going to flood the field with defensive backs next year, which is how their defense has been good. So I'm all about it. Did you have a least favorite pick?
I did. I mean, like I said, these, you're kind of getting nitpicky in the first round. And I'm I went to Utah State and I grew up a BYU fan. So I'm a little biased towards the, I wouldn't say I'm unbiased towards the Pac-12. I'm kind of a Pac-12 hater. So my least favorite pick was Kayvon Thibodeau. I think he's good. I don't know. There's question marks around him. Does he really love football? He started a cryptocurrency his senior year, and it seems like there's all these things about him. If I'm spending that high of a pick, I want the guy to be an absolute sociopath about football. I want him to love it. I want him to be in the weight room. I want him to be watching film and this, and just one track mind football. You can have interest later. So I, like I said, it's a little nitpicky, but if you're in the first round, I want that crazy psychopath. So.
Well, the Giants had your favorite and your least favorite.
Yes, very polarizing.
So let me ask you then, this is on the spot a little bit, but I assume you would have gone then Evan Neal at 5 instead of 7. Like, what would have you done with the other pick if you were the Giants?
Ooh.
Again, that's on the spot. I apologize.
No, it's all right. I mean, there's so dang many good guys. Kind of piggybacking off what you just said, your favorite pick was, I maybe would have gone Kyle Hamilton. I think he's just so dang good. There's only so much you can say about him, and I echo everything you said. I love him. Kind of what we're going to next, I would assume, is your favorite team in the first overall. Even piggyback, I have the Ravens as my favorite team. I guess that's a difficult question, but I kind of took it as like most improved team, favorite team that drafted. And I mean, it helps having two picks in the first round. So having Kyle Hamilton and the center, Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa, I think both of those guys were potential top 10 picks that fell to them. And I just think they got awesome value. So I love what the Ravens did with the draft. I also love what the Jets did. But I would – there's so many good defensive guys. So to sum up your answer, I'd probably say Kyle Hamilton. So.
Yeah, Kyle Hamilton. I could not like Kyle Hamilton more. And yeah. The Ravens, if you factor in the Marquise Brown trade, they drafted Marquise Brown – at 23rd overall 2 or 3 years ago, or maybe I think it was 25th overall, then got the 23rd pick. They improved their value somehow with Marquise Brown, then got Tyler Linderbaum, who is the other consent, like 100% best player at his position. Both of those guys went to the Ravens. Plus you got off of Hollywood Brown, who is a good player, but if you can get a first round pick for him, unbelievable.
Yep.
I do also like the Jets. I think we're on the same page. So they got Sauce Gardner at 4, cornerback, which surprised me a little bit, but I think it's an awesome pick, especially in Robert Saleh's defense. I think he's going to be really good. You can't have too many defensive backs, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson at 10. You got to help out Zach Wilson, something the Bears are not doing with Justin Fields. So glad Zach Wilson helped. And then trading back into the first round to get Jermaine Johnson at 26. I thought they were going to draft Jermaine Johnson at 4 overall. I thought he was that talented and the Jets liked him that much. Mm-hmm. Joe Douglas, he said since pick 15, which was the Houston Texans had that. So they were calling from pick 15 all the way to 26 to try to get back into the first round. They finally were able to and got all three of the guys they wanted. So I would have to say first round, I agree with you, the Jets and the Ravens stole the show. moving out of the first round, this is a little bit tougher. Was there a mid-round pick that, like, oh, it's either a great fit or, like, a team got great value, something that – or even a couple that, that stood out to you?
So I had written down Jermaine Johnson. I mean, that's kind of a cheater pick. I don't know if it can be considered for mid-round because it's – they took him with the 26th pick. But also, I wrote down two. At pick 12, the Detroit Lions took Jameson Williams. Like you said earlier, there's a lot of debate this year as to who the best wide receiver is, or and even quarterbacks. All these different positions didn't necessarily have a consensus number one. And Jameson Williams, some guys absolutely love him, guaranteed number one wide receiver in the class. Some guys have a lot more questions about him. Why didn't he play at Ohio State? Why did he transfer? I think he's awesome. I think he's just a burner. I think it'll be a good fit. I think it'll help Jared Goff this year. I think they're building their team the right way. I don't think they think Jared Goff's the quarterback of the future. So I think they're putting some pieces in place so when maybe next year when the quarterback class is a little bit stronger, they can draft a guy and just be off to the races.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, speaking of trades, they gave up 32, 34, and like 68 or something to jump 20 spots twice from 32 to 12, and then from 66 to 46 or whatever that may be. And really, to move up 20 spots twice and only give up the 34th pick, I think it's awesome value. And I think we both agree, after Jameson Williams, Chris Olave was right before him at 11. All that top tier, that first tier wide receivers was already gone. So Detroit giving up that little to get their guy, loved that move by them. Plus they got Aiden Hutchinson. They're another team that did well. I have two that stood out to me as far as mid-rounders, and I want to hear what you think about them. One offense and one defense. The offensive one is Sam Howell in the fifth round to Washington. And I love the Tar Heels, but you could replace Sam Howell with Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Matt Corral. Any of those guys, second round or later, I think is a huge steal. So I'll just say quarterbacks. All those quarterbacks that went second, third, like third or fourth round. We saw with the Eagles, like how valuable that second round pick they spent on Jalen Hurts has become. It allowed them to move off of Carson Wentz and get value for him. It gives them flexibility where they can either – he's the guy, great. If not, they have two first-round picks to get a guy. Just at that point, taking a swing on a quarterback is such higher upside than anything else you can do. So all the teams that finally did pull the trigger, I love that. And the other one I like that I think not a lot of people like, and it probably won't make a huge difference, but sixth-round pick for the Los Angeles Rams, Darion Kendrick, a cornerback from Georgia – transferred from Clemson. I really like him. I know he's in the sixth round for a reason. He's not perfect, but I liked him. I thought it was a good pick. And the Rams, they traded all their high picks away. So, like, they hit on these guys. Kendrick, Quentin Lake from UCLA is another player I really like. They have a tendency, like, guard, safety, like those lower, quote-unquote, value positions, hit on those in the mid or late rounds. Use their high picks on stars like Jalen Ramsey, Matt Stafford at the high value positions. It's what got them where they are. And I think that they're continuing. So those were two that stood out to me. I know the quarterback, that's kind of a cheating answer, but I loved it. I was surprised more teams didn't take swings.
No, I'm 100% with you. I just echo what you said. There's such high upside and the risk is so low when you're taking them that late. I was shocked, as was everybody, to see how far Malik Willis slid and Sam Howell, like you said, Sam Howell, all of them really. So yeah, I love those and I 100% agree.
Is there let me ask you, what team you think did, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, with Baltimore and New York, but what team you think did the best and what team you think did the worst in the draft?
I took this kind of as existing team plus the draft. I have the Chargers written down. They didn't have a lot of holes in their team, both sides of the ball last year. They had some offensive line concerns, but they've addressed that in the offseason through trades, and also they they drafted the guard Zion Johnson. I think they've done an excellent job this offseason to protect Justin Herbert, their star, their future, the face of the league coming up. So I think they've I think they're a dangerous Super Bowl candidate this year.
Yeah, I'm pulling up their draft. When I was filling out my like pre-draft stuff, I was watching a Suns-Pelicans game. So every Zion Johnson, I actually wrote Zion Williamson and had to go back in and edit that. But yeah, he's listening to Brandon Staley, the head coach for the Chargers. One thing he said is a reason they didn't or weren't able to push the ball down the field last year with Justin Herbert wasn't because the receivers, in his opinion, but because the offensive line, they just didn't have time to run those seven step drops, like the deeper route combinations, because of the offensive line. So addressing Zion Johnson in the first round, I think, was a little bit of a surprise, but if you look at it, it makes perfect sense. Isaiah Spiller, getting him in the fourth round. I'd rather have Isaiah Spiller, the running back from A&M, in the fourth round than Breece Hall in the second round, like the Jets did, and Kenneth Walker to the Seahawks in the second round. They got a bunch of good players, so I like that. I like the Chargers pick. My best team, and let's stay positive for a bit before we rag on some teams. I think I have to go Baltimore.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, you look at Hamilton and Linderbaum. In the second round, they got David Ojabo, who would have been a top 20 pick, probably 25 pick, if he hadn't torn his Achilles in his pro day. Now, he's probably going to miss most or all of his rookie year. But he's an explosive player who's, like, when you talk about raw, he didn't start playing high school or football until he was 17. They got Travis Jones, who's like a high second round. I thought he was going to be in the high second round. He's a defensive tackle from Connecticut. They got him in the third. Jalen Armour Davis is a cornerback I like from Kentucky, or not Kentucky, Alabama, excuse me. Tyler Batty's a running back at Missouri. Now, that's a sixth round pick, probably not going to affect too much, but they just like got really talented players that fell to them. I liked everything they did. The Eagles had a good draft. We've talked about Detroit and the Jets. And I like the Bengals attacking secondary several times with Daxton Hill and Cam Taylor-Britton, their first picks. But I think Baltimore, I just was blown away by how well I thought they were doing and how well everything felt.
Yeah, I love their value. They had a fantastic draft.
Do you have one? Or I have a couple teams for my least favorite. Do you have a couple?
Yes, I've got two written down. And this one, I think people will either love it or they're going to hate it. I initially loved it, and the more I thought about it, I'm like, wait, what are they doing here? And it's the the Tennessee Titans, with their trade to the Eagles of A.J. Brown. And then they drafted Treylon Burks, and they got a third back. I initially loved it. I'm like, he's the same player. They don't have to pay $100 million to A.J. Brown, and I think it's good. But the more I thought about it, I think they're a win-now team. They've got Henry that's getting a little older. Tannehill's not getting any younger. If I were them, I would probably have just paid A.J. Brown the proven commodity instead of taking what I look at as kind of a very low upside risk with getting rid of A.J. Brown and replacing him with Treylon Burks, who could potentially flop. He's one of those guys. I mean, all offseason, there was talk for him being the number one fantasy pick overall in rookie drafts, but had a bad pro day, bad showing at the combine, and kind of slid down boards. So I would say he's kind of a wild card. He could be fantastic. He's a monster, the 5XL gloves and all these things, but he could flop and it could come back to bite them in the butt. So I think, like I said, in hindsight, I probably would have paid the proven guy and just tried to win now while I have the proven pieces.
Yeah, looking at Tennessee, and I agree with you. I would have paid A.J. Brown in our fantasy group chat, like right after the combine. I texted everyone like, did you see Traylon Burks wet the bed, basically? And all people made fun of me thinking I was trying to take him. I just legitimately think if you have that poor athleticism, I don't see how you're going to succeed in the NFL. I am not excited about him. And every team is trying to do, because receivers are getting like such high contracts, like Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, we're looking at 25 plus whatever million a year they're getting. The Browns have, or sorry, not the Browns, the Titans, they're paying, Ryan Tannehill has a cap hit this year and next year, over $35 million for an average quarterback. Derrick Henry's cap hit isn't too bad, but it's $15 million each of the next 2 years. If they, instead of paying Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, I would much rather give some of that money to A.J. Brown. So you're not forced into this position to do what the Minnesota Vikings did, where they trade Stephon Diggs and use the pick to draft Justin Jefferson. That is not going to work out most of the time. The Vikings got extremely lucky. So short answer is I agree with you. I didn't like the A.J. Brown pick from a Titans perspective. I understood it from a cap perspective, but I just think manage your cap better. Like, it's your own fault.
Yep.
Like, just figure it out.
Yep.
You said you had two. Was there another team
that you the other one's just kind of a cop-out one. It's the Patriots. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. They took Cole Strange. He had a third or fourth round grade on him, but – I mean, the other side of the coin is it's Bill Belichick. Why the heck are you questioning him? Just sit back and watch him win. So that was my other one.
Yeah, Cole Strange, that's just, even if you love the guy, let's say you think he's the best player in the draft, you can get him in the second or maybe third round. Like, yeah. Why are you doing that? Tyquan Thornton, the receiver the Patriots drafted, His three cone was horrible. I don't care what your 40 is. If you can't change direction, you're not a useful receiver in the NFL. I do like Jack Jones, the cornerback from Arizona State that went in the fourth round. But if we're talking about a fourth round corner as a highlight, I think it was a suboptimal draft. Bailey Zappe ahead of Sam Howell, I don't love it from a quarterback perspective. Bill Belichick just, and this kind of speaks what you were saying, he just doesn't value – he doesn't care what other people are at. If he likes a guy, he's going to get him, and he doesn't play the board, doesn't play the game.
Yep, he's his own guy, and I mean, I guess the proof is in the pudding, but yeah, it's funny. Funny how they – it's always the same thing with him.
Yeah. Two teams that I didn't like – I hated one more, but I'm going to start with the one I just didn't like. Trey McBride was the Arizona Cardinals' first pick. He was a second round pick because they traded. Again, I don't get why you're trading Marquise Brown for a first round pick. It's big picture wise what AJ Brown got as far as from a trade compensation. And A.J. Brown is worlds away a better player than Marquise Brown. So I don't like that for Arizona. I think Kyler I don't know that he personally did this, but I felt they felt pressure from Kyler. Like, oh, let's get his college receiver. Maybe he'll put us back on Instagram or whatever. And Myjai Sanders, he's a good defensive lineman from Cincy. I like him a lot. Everything else is just, like, fine. Like, I wouldn't give the Cardinals an F. I would give that trade an F. I'd give their grade like a C minus or like, it's just whatever. The team I hated the most, and I'm interested in your opinion, the Denver Broncos, like other than Nick Bonito from Oklahoma, I just not a fan of anything that they did. Greg Dulcich is not, he's fine. That's all. He's the tight end they got from UCLA. Now they weren't picking similar. They didn't have a first round pick. So it's hard, but I hated what the Broncos did a lot. I felt like they were the worst team in the draft. Yeah, so those are our thoughts as far as what teams did the worst. I think the Patriots might be the front runner, like you were saying, Ty. Let's end with this. Give me a prediction for offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
So I'll start with my defensive rookie of the year prediction. Like I alluded to earlier, if I'm going to draft a guy early in the first round, I want him to be a football freak. And I think Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan is that. He reminds me of like the Watt brothers and the Bosa brothers. He's just a machine. You know you're going to get 100% out of him every play. Just a physical specimen. And I think he's going to have a lot of opportunity to be on defense, just with the team he's on and the situation. They're in the process of getting better, but I don't think they're there this year. So they're going to be on defense a lot. And then my offensive rookie of the year, kind of the same argument, but just opposite side of the ball. I've got Drake London. I think he's going to have a ton of opportunities to catch the ball. I would guess Kyle Pitts is going to be number one. He's going to draw the opposing defensive strongest corner. So he'll get the number two. And he's been profiled to be like Mike Evans. He's got that contested catch ability. So I think Mariota is just going to chuck it up and let him go get it. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to make plays. I think the Falcons will probably be behind quite a bit. So I love both of their opportunities and their odds to win.
Yeah, I think it's pretty open, especially from an offensive perspective. I think Drake London has, from what you said, just he has probably the best opportunity from any of these rookies, because other than Kyle Pitts, who's kind of a receiver, but Drake London's really the only receiver they have. My offensive rookie prediction is probably Breece Hall. I wouldn't be surprised if London wins it. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets to Chris Olave as well from New Orleans. But I think Breece Hall's going to I think New York's just going to force feed him the ball a lot. I think him and Michael Carter are going to split time. But Breece Hall's explosive enough, right? I wouldn't be surprised. That's who I would bet on. But it's so open. Defensively, yeah. My heart is saying Derek Stingley. My head's saying Ahmad Gardner, the two corners that went 3-4. But I'm just going to go with Derek Stingley, LSU cornerback who got drafted by Houston third overall.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you watch his freshman year at LSU on that national championship team. He, as an 18-year-old, was the best defensive player in the country. He came in as an 18-year-old and practicing against Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and just dominating the SEC as an 18-year-old. Do you remember what we were like at 18? And this guy's killing the SEC. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's had some injuries, hasn't played in a couple years really, but I just don't – you don't lose that type of God-given ability.
Yep.
So I'm going to say Stingley, but yeah. I think offensively, especially, it's very open.
Yeah. No, I love that defensive pick. He's proven it. He's showed his skill. And like you said, you don't just lose that. So I would favor a guy that showed he can do it than a guy that has upside that could potentially do it. So I love that pick.
Well, yeah. Now, are there any thoughts on any players, any teams before I let you go enjoy your Sunday by yourself without your family?
I think we've pretty well covered it. Like you said, I love the Jets, the Ravens. I think they had awesome drafts. But dude, I'm so dang excited. The draft just gets me going. It feels like I'm ready just to start watching games now, but I'm bummed we have to wait so long, but it'll be here before we know it. So.
Yeah, I'm saying I love the NFL draft. Love watching every pick. Like, I love the idea of team building. So it's fun watching it. With a little party we had. Appreciate you coming on, man, and congrats on winning the bracket.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's a blast.
All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. Appreciate Ty for coming on the show. So Matt and I, we're gonna go through every team. We decided we're going to go division by division, and we're going to try to do that alphabetically. Now, this is in our heads, so we might get a couple teams wrong, but we're going to try to do AFC, East, South, Northwest, NFC, East, South, Northwest, and within the division, do alphabetical order. I feel like I have OCD where I want to have everything set. You know what I mean?
Yeah, alphabetical within the division. That'll be impressive. So
let's see if I can do it. I dated a girl one time, and she would always – like try to name every NBA team, and she would just randomly, she'd go like Golden State, Chicago, Houston, Milwaukee, like all around the country. I feel like that's impossible to keep track of. If I'm doing this or like college, like naming every team in the ACC or MLB, whatever. I do it by division. I just feel like it's easier to keep track of.
Right, yeah, because then you've got sort of a map of where you're going. Like, it's easier to remember which of the four teams you forgot out of than the 32.
Yeah, but if you're thinking, like, if you name 29 NBA teams, you're like, is it Charlotte? Is it Milwaukee? Is it New Orleans? Who knows? But, yeah, so Buffalo Bills are the first team. I liked... I don't know what to say. They traded up two spots for Kaiir Elam in the first round, which I didn't feel like they had to, especially because Andrew Booth was available. Worst case, they get him at 25 instead of 23. I think James Cook is fine running back. Dalvin Cook's younger brother. Second round seems a bit much. Here's the thing. With the Chiefs, when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, they were like, oh, we're super good. We can use a running back. And now they don't have any secondary or edge rushers or receivers. So
right.
You're never in that position. So I don't love him in the second round. It was the back of the second round. Khalil Shakir is a really good player from Boise State. Do you have any thoughts on the Bills draft?
I think the big one that I think people are aware of is they drafted the punt god, Matt Araiza. I don't think I've said his name out loud before, but... best punter in the history of college football. That's at least the perception of people right now. I'm going to have to go through our list of punters, compare the tape with the Ray guys and the Utah kid. Tom Hackett was, I theoretically understand why he wouldn't have worked in the NFL, but man, he was a good college kicker.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we won't spend a whole lot on punting theology, but in college, and we could do a breakdown on this, but like Australians are really taking over, and it did really start with Utah with Tom Hackett and like bringing the Aussies in. But they do that rugby style where they run to their right or their dominant leg. They take two or three steps, gives the special teams time to get on the field. The NFL, either for lack of will or lack of ability, just don't do that. So those punters haven't really found as much success in the NFL. But yeah, they got Matt Araiza. So they had to find just a neutral draft. I thought they could have done a lot better. Next team, Miami Dolphins, who didn't have a lot of picks, even though they got three first rounders from the Niners last year, did not have a lot to work with. Didn't pick till the third round. I do like Eric Ezukamna. Oh man, we really should have practiced these pronunciations.
Yeah, it's, you before. Know, just we'll do our best, but be patient.
Wide receiver from Texas Tech, is big and a really good athlete. I think if you're getting a receiver in the fourth round, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like Skylar Thompson from Kansas State. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback, but I like the flyer in the seventh round.
Right. Yeah, take a go. See what happens. Linebacker from Georgia. Those don't know who Channing Tindall is, but he's a linebacker from Georgia, so you know he's going to be good.
So don't love Miami's draft partly because of the trades they've been doing. But also, if you factor in Tyreek Hill, it's a much better draft.
Right.
So you think about that. We're going to factor in A.J. Brown to the Eagles draft, so we should be fair and factor that in to Miami's. I believe New England is before New York.
They are.
It's interesting, like, New York, how that's the capital of the world now. York, England is, like, fine. It's, like, not...
It was a cool, I mean, that was on our study abroad. We went there. It was actually one of my favorite places because I've got like a bunch of Viking stuff. I mean, certainly not the center of industrial England or anything.
I'm glad you mentioned that and I have more questions because for a while it was like the Viking capital of England when the Vikings were like raiding and stuff.
It was called Jorvik in that language.
Sounds very cool.
So, yeah.
So they did have some Viking stuff there.
A lot of Viking stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool place. But so anyway, yeah, not like New York, regular New York, but yeah.
So New England Patriots. I didn't like Tyquan Thornton. George Pickens was still on the board. Any receiver was still on the board. Here's the thing. He ran like a 4.28 or something like that for a 40, which is fine. But we've seen in the past, like, receivers who can only just run fast straight don't pan out. His three cone was horrible. I think it was like a 7.33. I might be off on that number. Like, he can't change direction to save his life. And we've seen receivers not be able to do that. And receivers with his skill set haven't been able to succeed. I've heard people say Baylor receivers don't do well. I don't love like labeling, like Ohio State quarterbacks have that label, like, oh, you don't do well in the NFL. I don't think that's fair. I like looking at it individually, but if you individually look at Thornton, who was the Patriots' second round pick, don't love it. Their first round pick, Cole Strange, is a good player, just drafted super high. I have more of a problem with Thornton than Strange as far as their draft. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, Strange was the guy. The Rams thought he was going to be available at 104, which, you know, maybe, you know, if there's a team that sees something that the rest of the teams don't, it's going to be New England. Obviously, you know, Tom Brady's the very famous example, but there have been several other picks that they've made, you know, that would seem like reaches to other teams that actually panned out. So maybe this is one of those, but even if it is a reach, it seems like they probably could have got him in the second round, if not the third.
I agree 100%. I will say, I do like Jack Jones, the cornerback from Arizona State. I like Pierre Strong, the running back from South Dakota State. They're 2 fourth round picks. Those were my favorite picks for New England, were those two. Marcus Jones is a good corner, but I would prefer Jack Jones out of those two.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. So here's the thing. They did. If you're talking from a strict player perspective, the Jets did very good. I don't like the Jets as much as other teams, but I am very high. And I talked with Ty. If you're pure player's perspective, they did great. I still love trading up. And we saw last year Joe Douglas traded up to draft Elijah Vera Tucker. They had all this draft capital and they gave up a lot of it. I know not every player is going to make the roster. They have so many holes. Literally every position is a hole for the Jets. I don't like him taking Breece Hall, trading up to get him at 36, because running back's arguably the one position it's not a hole. It might not be a plus, but it's not a hole.
Right.
Garrett Wilson's good. Ahmad Gardner's really good. That's the best pick, obviously. Jermaine Johnson, I think, is really good. And again, value him at 26 is very good. The trade-up part I don't love, but I don't think they gave up too much. They were actually done by the fourth round, middle of fourth.
That's interesting. And they do have a ton of picks, which is really good. I guess my concern is, you know, it doesn't look like they gave Zach Wilson a lot of help. I mean, they did get Garrett Wilson, who you mentioned is going to be a very good receiver. That's going to help a lot. I'm just, you know, I don't know how Jeremy Ruckert is, if that, like, that seems like they should have been getting a tight end in the second instead of that running back. It seemed like they could have gone offensive line a lot earlier. That could have been their second round pick. You know, getting an edge rusher, that makes sense. Getting a cornerback that early, that makes sense. But I think the running back, it just prevented them from getting other things that would have helped Zach Wilson more.
And the trade-ups they did for Breece Hall and Jermaine Johnson, that's two or three players. You could have gotten another offensive lineman, another receiver, even if they're not as valued high. Like, odds of one out of five or four of those guys pans out. I think, I don't know what the odds are, but you got to take a shot, especially if you're the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Patriots seem to do, and it always works out for them.
Yeah. Jeremy Ruckert's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. I think he's decent, but he's not going to be ultra productive. He's not like a Kyle Pitts type tight end. He does everything well, so he'll see the field a lot. But
yeah.
So Jets are good. Ahmad Gardner's really good, though. So let's go AFC North. So that would be Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore Ravens. I did that right. Yeah. Baltimore. Okay, they had the best draft. I talked with Ty about this, and if you have my Twitter account, you know I love the Ravens draft. Just everyone, especially their first four picks, Travis Jones in the third round, unbelievable. I thought he would go like early second, maybe mid-second. David Ojabo was a top 20 pick likely until he tore his Achilles, so he'll probably miss his first year. But you're getting like a top 15, 20 player, middle of the second round. You got the only two players that were the clear-cut best players at their position, Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Linderbaum. And their trade, they traded into the first, but they gave up Hollywood Brown. They actually gained value from that. So I don't hate that specific. And I think they maybe gave up, like, something else. I don't know the trade deals. I don't hate that as much as, like, the Jets I was just talking about, their trade-up. They got two tight ends, Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely. were very different tight ends, but I think they're trying to get back to like running and pounding the ball. And they have a good receiving core. They got Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Devin Duvernay, Prochet, blanking on his first name, I believe it's James. They just did everything well, I thought. There's not one pick I even question. It's all good.
Yeah, well, it seems like to me, the Kyle Hamilton pick, it's been really interesting for me to watch because there seems to be a consensus that Kyle Hamilton is the best football player in the draft, but teams shied away from him because safety is a low value position. And I just think that, you know, I understand running back, like there's a lot of different statistics that shows maybe running back isn't worth being valuable. But Kyle Hamilton on the offensive end, I feel like if he really is that good of a football player, you can put him in man coverage when you want to. You can have him blitz when you want to. You can just use him in a way that's going to maximize his value. Just like they're going to figure out a way to use him in a way that most other teams don't use their safeties if he's that good, like the Eagles were doing with Malcolm Jenkins, like the Seahawks figured out how to do. Like they're just going to figure out how to use him. Like most safeties don't get used, and I feel like that's going to pan out.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the best player. If we're talking positional value, doesn't matter. I think he's the best player, and I also think safety should be highly valued more than it is. But you're right, it is a low value position from like a contract perspective. He's huge, 6'4", almost 220. If you think about the Ravens are trying to beat, and everyone in the AFC is trying to beat the Chiefs and the Bills, and technically the Bengals, but really the Chiefs and the Bills. Kyle Hamilton, he can cover Travis Kelce. He's not going to win every rep, but like you can put him on Travis Kelce. You can put him in the slot, cover a receiver. You can put him too high. You can put him near the line of scrimmage. You can put him at single high, even though you're probably not doing that against the Chiefs. He can literally play anywhere on the field. And like the Chargers, why their defense is so exciting, they got players like Derwin James, Asante Samuel Jr., rookie last year. You can move them all around. That's so hard for an offensive coordinator. It's like why defenses, when you have like a Kyle Pitts or George Kittle or Travis Kelce, it's hard on the defense. When you have a safety like that, it doesn't affect maybe the personnel that the offense is bringing on, but you don't know where he's going to line up. You don't know how they're going to line up. It allows you just so much more flexibility. So I think we both agree.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle Hamilton, A+.
Good draft.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Cincinnati's before Cleveland. Let's go to the Bengals.
I like how we went to I to get Cincinnati's before Cleveland.
Well, they're both C's.
Oh, I guess the second letter. I see where we were going.
So here's the thing. Everyone, obviously the offensive line sucks. They actually did add a bunch of average offensive line players through free agency. But average is better than bad,
yeah,
which is what they were last year. Is. And I love what – I'll say I like what they did in the secondary. I'll say 8 out of 10. Don't like love it, but I do really like it. Daxon Hill is another top, like, 20 prospect, top 15. They got him at 31. He's a versatile safety. He can – like we were just talking about, you're trying to – you got to figure out a way to cover all the receivers in Buffalo and Kansas City, cover Travis Kelce. They can line Daxon Hill up anywhere. Not as big as Kyle Hamilton, but very versatile. They actually traded up ahead of San Francisco in the second round. I don't know if San Francisco is going to draft Cam Taylor-Britt, the corner from Nebraska, but Cincinnati, I think, thought they were. So they traded up to get him. Yeah, everything else is just fine, but those two secondary players I really, really like, especially at the places they got them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I don't have a ton to say about this one. You know, it's the Bengals. I know they went to the Super Bowl last year, but I mean, I'm jealous. As good of a draft the Eagles had, I'm jealous they got secondary people, but we'll get to that later.
Let's go to Cleveland then. So I love David Bell from Purdue. They got him late third. I think he's a really good player. He only ran a 4.6 something on his 40, so some teams are worried about explosiveness, but what he does is get open. He's physical. Has a big catch radius, clean route. He does everything, like, technically as a receiver super well. 6'2", pretty big size. Perrion Winfrey might be slightly mispronouncing that. He's a good defensive lineman from Oklahoma. They obviously didn't have a first-round pick with the Deshaun Watson trade. They didn't have a second-round pick, blanking on why they don't have that trade. Jerome Ford's a good running back from Cincinnati. Got him in the fifth. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I'd rather have Jerome Ford in the fifth than Breece Hall in the top of the second, coming back to the Jets.
Right, yeah.
Breece Hall's a much better player, but...
Makes sense.
Yeah, so the mid-picks, David Bell and Perrion Winfrey, were my favorites.
Yeah. I like getting a kicker in the fourth round. And by like it, I don't want the Eagles to do it. I like seeing it happen. I like anomalies like that. So, yeah, it seems risky to take a kicker that early, given, you know, the fact seeing kickers get picked highly does not necessarily correlate to them doing well, but who knows?
It's crazy. There's basically no correlation between like college success and NFL success.
Right. That would seem like the one where there would by far be the most.
You think it'd be the easiest thing to scout?
Yeah.
Like just look at a statue, like track. You can just look at a spreadsheet and scout.
Yeah. It's like this guy ran the fastest. Yeah. And I don't understand why kicking is not like that.
And I know track, especially distance, is more complex than that, but
not a lot more complex than that.
Let's go to Pittsburgh. I hated the Kenny Pickett pick. He's just not very good. Here's why I didn't like it for Pittsburgh particularly. We saw in Pittsburgh where he played his college football, small hands. People make fun of that and think you overhype it. He fumbled 26 times in college, especially in the cold weather, and he's going to have to play well into December and January in Pittsburgh. Like, he turned the ball over a significant amount. It's a real problem, and Pittsburgh took him. I like they didn't have to trade up for him, and they didn't know all those other quarterbacks were going to fall, so I don't hate. It's like when the Giants drafted Daniel Jones at 6, the problem wasn't drafting Daniel. It wasn't like where they drafted him, it was that they drafted him. It was their process that led to. I love that they drafted the quarterback at 20 instead of like trading up or waiting, whatever. I hate that Kenny Pickett was the guy.
That is not the guy. Now, would you think that Malik Willis is that good, or do you just think there wasn't a quarterback good enough in this class to warrant that high of a pick?
I think there's multiple. I think Desmond Ridder at 20 would have been fine. Malik Willis definitely. At like 6, trading up to 6 or 13, then that might be a little much, but a late 20, like late first round pick, I don't mind any of those quarterbacks. And like I was talking to you, I don't mind him in the second. No other quarterback went to the third round. Anything past the second, and really the Eagles is what kind of made me dig into this philosophy. Like Jalen Hurts is the most valuable 50th overall pick of all time, probably. I don't have this list in front of me, but like, can you think of like how he's transformed the Eagles' future? Even though he hasn't been like the best, like just being an above average quarterback gives him so much more flexibility.
It's been great to have him instead of Carson Wentz.
Yeah. See? So I didn't like Kenny Pickett pick. Yeah. I think any of the top, like Matt Corral, Sam Howell, who didn't go to the fifth round, which was insane. Any of those top guys, especially Malik Willis at 20, totally worth it.
Yeah.
Totally worth it, I think. Just because, like, if you hit on a quarterback, even if it's a lower percentage than some of these other guys, it's so much more valuable.
Right.
Love George Pickens at 52. He's actually my favorite receiver in this draft is George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Marvin Leal, Calvin Austin, like all the players they got are good. I didn't even realize this. They got another quarterback, from South Dakota State in the seventh round. But the Kenny Pickett pick just ruined the draft for me.
Yeah. That, if you screw up the quarterback, everything else doesn't really matter. So,
yeah. So let's go to the AFC South, and Houston, I believe, is the first one on our list. Houston Texans. All right. So, Derek Stingley's the man. Talked about this with Ty, but coming into the SEC as an 18-year-old and being the best player in the country, I don't feel like there's much more you need to scout or do or say for that. So I think he's going to be good. I love Jalen Petrie, safety they got in the second round. Christian Harris is a linebacker they got in the third round. They got a lot of like players I really like. Damian Pierce is a running back from Florida, real tough guy. So I think they had a B+, A- draft, but the players that I did like, I really liked.
Yeah, that's good. And it seems like they got a lot of good positions that I like. Offensive line, cornerback. Receiver, you know, just gonna get an edge rusher in. And if you've got as many picks, because it seems like they have more than the average pick, not necessarily having the seventh, I feel like just the more kind of cracks that you get at those high value positions are valuable. So,
yeah. Thomas Booker's edge rusher from Stanford. I think he was awesome at Stanford. I watch Stanford as much as any other team. I think he's good. Let's go to Indianapolis. Oh, these Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville, as far as alphabetical order, right all after right each, other. Each other. Yeah, Indianapolis. So they didn't have a first round pick. They had like a fine draft. They drafted Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, one after George Pickens. He's fine. My only thing with Alec Pierce is he averaged, I think, like 16 yards a catch in college. I just feel like he didn't have a complete route tree, so that makes me a little bit nervous, but I think he's going to be a good compliment to Michael Pittman. Bernard Ryman, nice Austrian guy. I thought he might go late first, early second, so getting him in the third is good.
You say Austrian?
Yes.
Are there any other Austrian football players?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like who would you even practice with?
I don't know. I don't know why he moved to the U.S. in high school, but he did like play high school football in the U.S., but it might not have been until like during high school.
Okay, interesting.
He played in like some Austrian whatever.
Although I guess reading Bernhard Rehman, if you were giving me a list and like which one of these is Austrian, that's the one I would pick. Yeah. So
Any thoughts on Jelani Woods? We haven't talked about him.
You know, love seeing Bronco get a guy in. Seems, you know, 6'7", 265. That's very, very big. And just reading his description, the only thing they're talking about is his route running. So to have that big of a tight end be that good of a receiver, that seems like a lot of potential.
Yeah, he actually transferred from Oklahoma State to Virginia. He's basically like an extra offensive lineman. So he's still learning the tight end position. I think potential is a great word for it. Could be very good, but still kind of learning the position. Let's go to Jacksonville. Trent Baalke, when he was with the 49ers, made me want to jump off a bridge every April. And if I were a fan of the Jaguars, I'd be doing the same thing. And they got like fine players like Trayvon Walker's good. I would have gone Aiden Hutchinson. Devin Lloyd's good. I wouldn't have traded up for him. And then they drafted another linebacker, Chad Muma from Wyoming. They traded for him. They didn't get one offensive skill player, and they only got one offensive lineman. And I feel like if you have a Trevor Lawrence, and this is what we're going to say with the Chicago Bears, like the only focus should be their development. Now, I know the defense affects the overall team, but like drafting defense for Aaron Rodgers is different than drafting defense for Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, because you need them to figure it out. You need them to be the guy, especially you're trying to take advantage of the rookie window that they're on.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like they did. I feel like they mismanaged their draft capital and didn't help Trevor Lawrence. So not a fan.
Well, yeah, to get, you know, two linebackers with your first four picks, that seems like a lot of picks to spend on linebackers. Given both their limited impact, like, and, you know, even though they're good players, it's just like that's only one part of the field. If they were spreading it out, then that would make a little bit more sense. Like if they got a linebacker and a safety, you could maybe justify it to it. But having two linebackers that playing that close together doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, like in a vacuum, they're both good players. Where they got each of them is good value, but the trading up and getting both of them when you have other needs, not a fan of. Let's go to Tennessee. The Titans. I talked about this with Ty, but they have to pay Ryan Tannehill. He's a cap hit like $36 million the next 2 years. Derrick Henry is like a $15 million cap hit. So they couldn't afford AJ Brown at $25 million, and they had to trade him. And they got Treylon Burks, who had a horrible combine, horrible athleticism. They're trying to do what Minnesota did, replace Stephon Diggs with Justin Jefferson, and it's not that easy. And I don't think it's going to work out. So I don't love it. Not happy.
Yeah. I am happy with it because, again, you know, we're going to get to the Eagles eventually.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting Malik Willis, that could end up working out pretty good. So that's, you know, not nothing, because, you know, it seems like Ryan Tannehill, I think he's a lot better than he gets credit for, but he's also got to be nearing the end of his NFL career. So I do like that pick in the sense of, like, don't do what Pittsburgh has done and just, like, wait until Ben Roethlisberger falls off a cliff and then draft Kenny Pickett, which might not work. You know, so I think that getting Malik Willis now makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, where they got, and everything else in the draft is good. Ryan Tannehill is going to be 34 at the start of this season. And especially like Malik Willis coming into a situation with the Titans, A, he has Ryan Tannehill. So there's really third round pick, established starter, zero pressure to play him this year, which I think is going to be great for him and a lot of the quarterbacks in this class. And pairing him with Derrick Henry, from a like pure running perspective, Malik Willis would have been like the top three running back in the league.
Yeah.
I like Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn. That was their second round pick. Hassan Haskins. Most of the running backs I think are good, which is a problem with drafting Breece Hall. Not to keep coming back to this, but like Hassan Haskins is awesome. I don't feel like there's a huge drop off between him and Breece Hall. Like, just get someone in the fourth or fifth. Kyle Phillips from UCLA is a really good route runner. Big fan of him since high school, actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, everything except the AJ Brown situation, I thought Tennessee actually did well on.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like Pittsburgh. The one big thing can affect your whole franchise. Okay, so AFC West, Denver's first. The Denver Broncos, I didn't like this one. I just feel like they didn't, other than Nick Bonito, they didn't do anything good, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, you look at, they don't have a first round pick. Did they send their first round pick to get Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's, you know, again, if we're including that, then, you know, I think we definitely give them some plus points. Although I am interested to see how Russell Wilson does on a team that, you know, that at least has a good defense enough to carry him. It'll be interesting to see how well the offense does. But yeah, I mean, yeah, none of these picks are particularly standing out to me as being really good impact picks.
Denver's defense is nasty.
Yeah.
Let's go to the...
And they drafted... Well, that's... Sorry, yeah, we move on, but they're 1, 2, 3, 4... four of their first five picks are on defense.
Yeah.
So if we're trying to win, then what are we doing?
I am blanking on the name of the cornerback they drafted 9th last year, who I think is a freak. Let me Google real quick. Again, best podcast content. I typed in Google. You know when you like are talking and writing at the same time?
Yeah. I'll be like writing on the whiteboard at class and I'll be like, okay, sorry, I'm gonna stop talking and I'm gonna write this thing, and then it's just this awkward silence, but it's like I literally can't do it.
2021. Patrick Surtain. He yes. is awesome. I saw him in person last year in Denver. I know I've mentioned this before, but oh my gosh, he's unbelievable. He might be like my favorite defensive player just from a physicality perspective. So here's something, Matt, English teacher. The NFL has the Las Vegas Raiders behind the Los Angeles Chargers alphabetically, even though I would think LAS is ahead of LOS. Do they not factor that in if it's not English?
They
prefixes?
No. Should. Well, the thing is, because the los and the las are articles, but it's like not what a Spanish person might say is that los and las are not part of the word, but the name of the city is Los Angeles and Las Vegas.
Like, they don't have Angeles like first alphabetically.
Right. Yeah. So that seems like an error.
Let's do the Raiders.
Okay.
Let's be grammatically correct.
Except if we're going alphabetically, we've got to do Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, shit. I was so excited about the Raiders Chargers thing.
Okay, we'll do this one quick.
Let's do the Chiefs. I like Trent McDuffie. Didn't like that they traded up. Any trade up in the first round for not quarterback, I'm not going to like. Doesn't mean I don't love the player. Trent McDuffie's awesome. George Karlaftis is awesome. I like Sky Moore. Like Lou Chanel. I like most of what they did. The trade up hurts. But other than that, I'm a fan.
Yeah. Well, now how did this, you know, I see they got Sky Moore, so that's, you know, he seems to be in that 5'10", you know, Tyreek Hill sort of player. Are they, does this look like that Kansas City's been able to build back up to what they want to be surrounding Patrick Mahomes with?
You know the scene in Moneyball when Brad Pitt's like, we don't have to replace Giambi, we have to replace like a 333 batting average and whatever OPS?
Yes.
That's kind of what Kansas City's trying to do, is like, Tyreek Hill could do this, let's get Sky Moore to replace that trade. Tyreek Hill could do this, let's get... did they sign Valdes-Scantling or Alan Lazard? I forget which Packers are here. There, whichever Packer, like, let's get him to do that. Right. They're trying to Moneyball the receiving core.
Okay.
But they also lost Byron Pringle, so they got Mecole Hardman's probably their wide receiver one. Short answer is no, I think.
Yeah.
But they also saved a lot of money.
Well, that's something.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I think Moneyball is a great movie. And I don't really know why.
I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's very interesting, but like Brad Pitt's not particularly likable. Like, I guess I like Jonah Hill, but like he's not prominent enough to like carry the movie. Like you're very interested in what's happening. I don't know. It's really good.
It's captivating. Jonah Hill is like an underrated, like one of my, I love everything that he's in.
He's really, really good.
Super talented. Should we do the Raiders?
Let's do the Raiders.
All right. Didn't have a pick till the third round because they traded two first and two second. That's another problem. I guess we haven't gotten to Arizona, so I'll save it. So third round pick, Dylan Parham. They got Zamir White from Georgia in the fourth round. Another reason, just wait to draft running backs. I like Thayer Munford, seventh round lineman from Ohio State. If we're talking about linemen in the seventh round, I don't know how good your draft is, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you can find somebody who's, like, going to play even, like, a couple of downs a game, like, that's a good trade.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, again, we're factoring in Davante Adams. I think they gave up too much for Davante Adams, but they got him, and he's very good, so.
Yeah, and it's like, Derek Carr's in that position where it's like, he's not going to take you to a Super Bowl, but like, I think I probably like him more than a lot of other people do.
You like him more than me.
Yeah, I think he's, what I think he is I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with, you know, not as good as Rams quarterback Matt
Stafford.
Yes, I don't think he's as good as Matt Stafford, but I think you give him, shoot, and then I just forgot the Packers receiver name.
Davante Adams.
Davante Adams. I think you give him Davante Adams, I think he looks really good.
Do you think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Do you think he's better than Kirk Cousins?
Probably. Yes.
Do you think he's better than Baker Mayfield?
Baker's rookie season, no. This most recent season, yes. So I guess it depends what version of Baker.
TBD. Do you think he's better than Matt Ryan in 2022?
Yes.
Okay, you are higher on him than me.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And we're going to find out, because you gave him the best receiver in the league. So.
No excuses anymore.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the Chargers. I mentioned this again with Ty, just repeating some stuff, but Brandon Staley, head coach, said part of the reason they couldn't push the ball down the field with Justin Herbert last year, they felt as the Charger organization, was because of the offensive line, not because of their receivers. They addressed that a little bit with Zion Johnson. 2 years in a row, their first-round picks on an offensive lineman. Isaiah Spiller's in the fourth round, who I think was the third-best running back in the class. Another reason to wait. Basically, any running back, I'm going to say that. Jasir Taylor in the sixth round, cornerback from Wake. Best name in the draft?
Jasir is good.
JA'SIR.
Well, I mean, just I would need to look at the other names. They drafted a defensive lineman, Otito, which I don't know the origin of that play. It sounds Spanish, which is just a language that I like. Otito, so that's one's got to be high up there.
The Chargers just had a good draft. Just nothing fancy, nothing crazy. Let's go to the NFC East, which I believe is Dallas. Is first.
Should be.
Tyler Smith in the first round, I think, is a really good tackle prospect, at least high ceiling type guy. Very, I think he's only like 21, so pretty young. Everything else was just like fine. I like a linebacker, Devin Harper from Oklahoma State. I thought he was a good player. Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama, receiver, is probably my second favorite pick. Tyler Smith for the first one. That's it. I think it's just like an average draft.
Yeah, and, you know, Dallas, they're a team that I think, you know, they've got a lot of really good players already, so this strikes me as a draft that's trying to add depth, and it looks like this is a draft where they've probably been able to accomplish that, which, unfortunately for me, I think that's probably the sort of thing they needed.
It's stressful to me as someone who doesn't even like the Cowboys that they couldn't re-sign Byron Jones and had to trade away Amari Cooper so they could pay Ezekiel Elliott to be the second best running back on their team. I know that's not draft related, but it's team management. And yeah, it's a lot of the problems they have as a team is at receiver. Receiver's not a huge hole. They got James Washington, Michael Gallup. But it could have been better with Amari Cooper. And the secondary would have been better with Byron Jones. Yep. Let's go to the New York Giants. Unless you have any Cowboys thoughts.
Just I hope they all lose.
Okay. Kayvon Thibodeau, I thought they would go tackle at 7 to make sure they get the guy they like over Carolina at 6. They went Thibodeau at 5 and Evan Neal at 7. They must have liked Evan Neal and Ekwonu Kwanu and Charles Cross and figured they want to make sure they get Thibodeau and be happy with any of those guys. I think Neal's the best tackle in the draft. Did not like the Wandale Robinson pick at 43. Alec Pierce, George Pickens, Sky Moore were still available. They got two Carolina guys, so happy there. I like the first round. Didn't like Wandale Robinson just because I feel like if you're a gadget player in college, and he wasn't a gadget player necessarily, but it was like strictly in the slot. They just had to like force feed him the ball at Kentucky. I would rather have a guy, and I feel like I'm stealing this from Mike Renner, is where he said this, but echoing the sentiment, like, who can run a full route tree. Like, George Pickens is a full receiver. Debo Samuel at South Carolina was a legitimate receiver, and they can, like, find a role for him. And I don't think Wandale Robinson's comparable to either of those guys, but just same to Alec Pierce. He did, like, one or two things at Cincinnati. I'd rather have George Pickens, who can do everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, honestly, besides the first two picks, it just looks like a whole lot of meh. Like I don't see anybody being a really, like, impact NFL player, which, if you're the New York Giants, that's you don't need depth, you need play. I mean, you do need depth eventually, but you got to get actual players before you get depth.
First two picks were a plus, though.
Yeah.
All right, Eagles, we're on it.
Here we go.
You can start with this one. You can start with more of them, too, but this is your favorite team.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, here's the thing. I feel like we've been doing this podcast 2-3 years. I feel like every year I say we need to draft a cornerback in the first round. We still have not done that. However, if you had told me before, hey, you're not going to draft a cornerback, that's not an option. This is about as good of a draft as I think that we could have had.
You didn't draft one at all. I think we're in year 4 of the podcast, by the way.
Really?
Happy didn't 40. We do 2018?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, yeah, because I think we ripe again with a Nick Foles winning the Super Bowl, and he just got cut by the Bears.
It's a long time ago.
So, but anywho, yeah, I mean, so yeah, not getting a cornerback. But like, yeah, Jordan Davis, I mean, he just, you know, I know people are saying like he's not going to be able to play every single down, but when he plays, he's going to make a huge difference. And, you know, I'm upset that we're going to lose. So bad with my name today. Defensive tackle, Eagles. Went Ole Miss, I think. Or he's definitely from Mississippi.
Mississippi State. Now I'm blanking on his name. And I was the one talking about him all weekend. Fletcher Cox,
yeah. We're going to lose Fletcher Cox. Jordan Davis seems like a great replacement. We got Cam Jurgens playing center. Jason Kelsey's going to leave pretty soon, it feels like. So getting him. And, you know, and then ending up with AJ Brown, using our picks to get him, like, that's awesome. Like, to have him on one side, Devonta Smith on the other side, that's a really, really good receiver pair, especially given, I know we're paying AJ Brown a lot, but Devonta Smith is still on his rookie deal, so that kind of makes up for that.
I think that if you factor in the Fletcher Cox thing, the Jordan, and you knew Howie Roseman was going to draft the Jordan Davis instead of a cornerback, because I, in my head, I agree with you, it was like cornerback, but then I kept coming back to, that's not what Howie Roseman's going to do. Fletcher Cox is going to be up next year. Jordan Davis is right there. I just knew he was going to go to the Eagles some way or another. And you got N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah. I figured I'd let you talk about N'Kobe Dean. You probably know a little bit more, but
he's the best player on the best defense of all time. And he went in the third round. Quay Walker, his linebacker teammate, went ahead of him. I think five Georgia defenders went in the first round or something like that. A couple more, I believe, went in the second. Undersized, had some medical question marks, which is why he went to the third round. But I, like, assuming his shoulder and his pec are fine, I think it's a no-brainer. He's just instinctive. Like, his brain moves faster than his feet. With most players, his feet are really fast. What I'm saying is, like, he diagnoses things so quick where he's on it. Like, he's moving simultaneous where other players are, like, have to second to think about it, and then they react. He's reacting as it's happening. Right. It's very impressive. He's a very good player. So,
yeah.
I think in that sense, you got a good draft. I'm excited for your Eagles. Anything else?
I think that's about it.
All right, let's go to Washington Commanders. I am biased. I'm happy to admit that. But I would have said this pick if it was Matt Corral, if it was Malik Willis, if it was Desmond Ridder. Sam Howell in the fifth round was the best pick of the draft.
Yeah.
I was saying since, like, anytime after the Pittsburgh Steelers, second round, hitting it hard on the third round, any of these guys are worth the pick you're making. Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, Malik Willis. And they got him in the fifth round. That's unbelievable. He was projected to be the number one pick last year. He loses his top two running backs and his top two receivers. The offensive line was fine. This year he's thrown. His best receiver was Josh Downs, who's a good receiver, but he's like a 5'11 slot guy. He's playing like a walk-on guy from Charlotte, was another receiver he was thrown to. Like, he just didn't really have much to work with. And he's a good runner, physical runner, has like a super high yards after contact rate, especially for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do really good in the NFL.
Yeah. Now, with Sam Howell, because he, like, clearly he lost a lot this year, and he knew he wasn't going to have enough as much talent to work with. Did he just want another year at Carolina, or was he so young that he couldn't go into the draft
earlier? Yeah, he wasn't draft eligible last year. This was the first year he's draft eligible. So that was a sophomore year where they went to the Orange Bowl, and everyone left the Orange Bowl team.
Right.
And then they were reloading this year.
Yeah.
Other than that, I didn't like the Jahan Dotson pick. Sam Howell's the only one, like, of notice. I like Jahan Dotson, just not at 16, but if you think about it, they traded back for it. I don't hate it as much as other picks.
Sure.
You just got to keep Terry McLaurin. Like, Jahan Dotson can't be the number one guy. Right. You have to pair him with McLaurin. Let's go to the NFC North, unless you have any other Washington thoughts.
No, I think that's it.
Okay, so Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago. I believe Chicago.
That's what I got.
Okay, and I already talked about this already. They didn't do anything to help Justin Fields. They hired a defensive coach. They drafted Velus Jones in the third round, who I actually like. I think he's fine receiver. But I just feel like, are they just like, do they hate him? Did he do something to offend them? Like, I just don't get why they're not trying to surround him, because their receiving core is horrible. Their offensive line is horrible. And their first two picks were a corner and a safety, and a good corner and a good safety. So if you're looking in a vacuum, all those picks were good. And they got Braxton Jones, teammate of our cousin, Noel Newfay, who was on the show in Southern Utah. It's one of those, like, and there's a lot of teams like this. Like, in a vacuum, it's fine, but I just hate the process behind a lot of these picks if you look at the specific needs of the team.
Yeah, it just, yeah, like, you're right. If you've got a young quarterback, you've got to support him. I think offensive line is even more than receiver. Like, I just don't want him. I mean, I understand that they say sacks is a quarterback sack, but is a stat. But, like, if your offensive line is as bad as the Bears is, then that's not necessarily fair.
You can't ask him to be Superman as a second-year player with no one to throw to. And I love Justin Fields. I loved him since he was like a sophomore in high school. I've been on him.
Right.
Big fan of him. Think he's as talented as anyone. As far as I'm, obviously don't know him personally. As far as I'm aware, he's a great guy. I want to see him succeed. And the Chicago's just doing everything they can to make sure it doesn't happen. So I hope he has a good year. Let's go to the Detroit Lions. The Jameson Williams pick was interesting to me because, again, I hate trading up, but they basically gave up the 34th pick to move up 20 spots from 32 to 12 and 20 spots in the second round from 66 to 46 for the 34th pick. Like, that's not really that much value. If you can get that good of value, just give up the 34th pick, which is a valuable pick. But moving up 20 spots in the first round?
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Zayden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams, Josh Pascal. They're first going through this. Kirby Joseph is an awesome safety. Josh Pascal, he can play outside and inside on the defensive line. I like Malcolm Rodriguez from Oklahoma State. Chase Lucas, he went to Chandler High School. It might have been Hamilton. I thought it was Chandler High School. Anyway, like, I knew him since he was in high school because I lived in Arizona.
Right.
And when I say knew, I knew of him. We don't know him personally.
Weren't hanging out with a high school football player.
I wasn't. No, that wasn't my social group. But I love him. Love watching him play. Think he's physical. Think he's athletic. They got him in the 7th round. I love Detroit's draft.
That is not something you expect to hear from Detroit. So good for those guys.
Yeah. Let me just confirm. Oh, he's actually a running back in high school. I forgot that. He went to Chandler High School.
Chandler High School. There we go.
Chase Lucas. Chase Lucas is awesome. Probably my favorite 7th round pick was Chase Lucas. Okay, let's go Green Bay Packers. Here's the thing. I didn't hate the draft as much as other people did. People like receiver, receiver, receiver. And just like we knew Howie Roseman of the Eagles was not going to draft a corner, we knew Green Bay wasn't going to draft a receiver.
Right.
The Quay Walker pick, we talked about, he wasn't even the best linebacker at Georgia, but teams go for traits over production a lot of time. He is a very traits player. Devontae Wyatt he fell a little bit just because he had an issue, off-field issue, wasn't domestic. He kicked in a door, so it wasn't domestic violence, but it was like a domestic issue. So I don't want to talk too much on that, but that's a little bit why he fell. He's a very talented player. The receiver they did get, Christian Watson's a freak athlete. Romeo Dubs, they got in the 4th round. I loved him at Nevada this year. Kingsley, the edge rusher linebacker from South Carolina, they got in the 5th, I like. So they got a few players that I really like at some spots that I really like. I know the first round wasn't what people wanted, but I think it was overall a good draft.
But I will say Christian Watson, the wide receiver, they picked him in the 34th, as a 34th pick. So 2 spots away from being in the first round. I realize that they had 2 first round picks before that. But like, you know, the difference in a receiver from 28 to 34 is, I think, virtually nothing. 22 to 34 is something, but, you know, it's not maybe as big of a deal as people think it would be.
Well, especially after Jameson Williams at 12, in my opinion, that was like tier 1 of the wide receivers was gone at 12. So like, what's the point? You're not going to do it just for the heck of it.
Right.
Yeah. Now they got him at 34. They traded. I think they had like 46, like 44 and 49. They had like 2 picks in the 40s, I think, traded up to get Christian Watson at 34. You could have got Alec Pierce, George Pickens, one of those guys. I know I'm talking about those two a lot, but they're very good players. Sky Moore went at 50. So you could have waited and got one of those guys and another player. So in that sense, I don't love it. But in a vacuum, Christian Watson's a very good player. And Romeo Dubs is, who they got in the 4th round. So those are my thoughts on Green Bay. Let's go to Minnesota. And just like we just talked about with Detroit, I just hated that trade. Like 12 to 20 in the first round is a huge drop. You went 2 in the 2nd round as well, like 20 spots back, and you only got the 34th pick, which they ended up trading out. Now, the 34th pick is good. They just could have gotten much more value for that.
Right, yeah.
The Austin Gale, who's been on this show, on his podcast, Tailgate, talked about the Saints a few years ago. They traded up from 27 to 14, I think. They had to give up a future first. Minnesota didn't do that. They didn't get a future first for that big of a jump.
Well, the other thing is, they traded it to the Lions, who are in the division, and I'm kind of against doing trades in the division, especially you don't want to lose a trade that's in the division. So that, I think, makes it even worse.
Yeah. Now, they did draft Andrew Booth and Lewis Cine in the opposite order of what I said to cover Jameson Williams. Mm-hmm. Like the players they got are good. I like Ed Ingram. I like Brian Asamoah, their first four picks. Like I like the players they got. They got another Carolina guy, Ty Chandler, in the fifth round. But it's one of the things, like, even though you like the players, you hate the process.
Right.
But Andrew Booth, I love. I think he's going to be a steal. Speaking of the Chiefs, I know we missed this, but they signed Justin Ross as an undrafted free agent from Clemson. I know we're way past this, but I just remembered it. And I thought he was going to be like, he destroyed Alabama in the national championship his freshman year. Had some medical injuries, things like that. Undrafted to Kansas City. Not fair. Okay, so AFC South. Let's think of that. So that is Carolina, Tampa, Atlanta. It has to be Atlanta is the first one. Atlanta Falcons. Okay. Now, my thoughts on this. We talked about biggest adjustment. Troy Anderson going from Bozeman, Montana to Atlanta, Georgia.
It's going to be
that's
an adjustment.
That's an adjustment. Desmond Ridder in the third round ahead of Malik Willis, which surprised some people. I don't hate it. I know Malik Willis has a higher floor, but Desmond Ridder, I think, is going to be a very good. I thought of him most in the vein of Jalen Hurts. They don't play similarly really at all, but in the terms of a mid-round, earlier round, mid-round pick who has the opportunity to be a starter, be a top 10 or 15 starter. If Desmond Ridder can do that, it's going to transform Atlanta just like it did with Philadelphia. So I love that pick. I don't like Drake London just because he can't get open. And as a receiver, I think that's a relatively important skill. Everyone else, I loved Arnold Ebiketie. They got our guy, Tyler Algier from BYU. The Desmond Ridder pick outweighs the bad Drake London pick to me.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm just looking at this, like kind of draft, like grading thing. They did not, like the Tyler Algier pick, which, you know, running backs are kind of like whatever, who knows, but like I thought Algier, he just had such a great season. Like he might have had the best season that a running back has ever had at BYU, so I think that that's going to end up being a good pick, you know, as far as a running back in the fifth round is concerned.
And they don't have any running backs. They're playing a receiver running back. They released Mike Davis as of today. I think it's a good spot for Tyler Algier.
Yeah.
My laptop might die, just so you know. So we might have to plug this into your computer, the microphone.
Okay.
Let's go to Carolina. And we can be quick here, I think. Ike Okwuanu was a good pick, really good tackle. They've just traded so many of their picks away in that Sam Darnold pick. They had to trade up in the third round to get Matt Corral, who I've talked about in a lot of ways is my favorite quarterback. If I had to, like, stake my reputation when it might be Matt Corral, even though the other guy's a lot better. Cade Mays from Tennessee, sixth rounder, I really like. I don't like trade. They keep trading all the picks, but what they did with the picks was I thought was good.
Does it seem like people are trading their picks more than they did when we were in high school? Because it seems like seriously, like 70% of these picks have been traded.
I think like 18 of the 32 picks in the first round at some point were traded or traded, changed hands.
Yeah.
Which was a record. So, So I think you're right. I don't know why, but they are trading
like so many.
New Orleans Saints. Here's the thing. And this is the ultimate love the player, hate the process. They traded basically picks 98, 101, 120, a 2023 first rounder, and a 2024 second rounder for Chris Olave.
Seems like too much.
Chris Olave is a great player. Another guy I followed since high school at San Marcos. Or maybe that's the name of the city. I forgot what. Mission Hills. It was either from San Marcos, Mission Hill High School, or the other way around. Great player. Just a lot to give up.
Yeah, seems like a lot. Especially because... Yeah, I don't know. Well, I feel like if you have Jameis as your quarterback, like that's good that he's helping. I think that Jameis is going to be able to take advantage of that. It's just like, I don't know. That's so many picks for a team that is not that good.
Yeah. And they're at some point the wheels are going to fall off with all the picks they're trading, the cap hit. Like I think they'll be a borderline playoff team this year. I just feel like that's not the goal. I would rather suck and have a better chance to win the Super Bowl than go like 10-7 and lose in the first round.
Right.
in my humble opinion. Tampa Bay. All right. I love they traded with Jacksonville out of the first round. And their, so their first pick was in the second round. They got Logan Hall, defensive lineman from Houston. I love. I like everything else. I'm like medium on Zion McCollum, fifth round corner. Really good player. I think pretty athletic. Kate Otten, I really like as a tight end. He's not going to be very productive, but I think he's a good player. Tight end from Washington. Yeah, Logan Hall is clearly their best pick and going to make an immediate impact, I think, on their defense.
Yeah. Now this is another one that, you know, could maybe be a Super Bowl contender depending on this draft and what happens in free agency. Do you think they did it?
I think Logan Hall is the only one who's going to make an impact. Maybe Rashad White as a running back, but like as a relief guy from Leonard Fournette.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their team is good enough where, like, if you just get a boost on the defensive line, I think it might be enough. I would like to see him add a corner later than the fifth round. That was where I think they're so strong, and we at the same time we want to add depth there. So I don't think that's going to have a huge impact, but I think Logan Hall will have an impact, and I think they're one of the favorites. Does that?
Yeah.
Feel good about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I love Logan Hall. I think he's awesome. And I think he's going to be great on that defensive line. Yeah, I would put Tampa as a top three NFC contender far away. I don't have it ranked in my head, but just thinking about it, I wouldn't be shocked if they go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I don't think this draft will have a whole lot to do with it. Okay, let's go to the Cardinals. I hated it, honestly. Keontae Ingram's running back from USC is fine. I think Trey McBride was too – I wouldn't have drafted him in the middle of the second. I don't want to rag on all these players, but I didn't like their draft.
Yeah, it's just another one of those, like, I don't know who here is going to really make an impact. And it just feels like they've got good players. J.J. Watt is not what they used to be, but, like, they got Zach Ertz, who I like a lot. Kyler Murray's good. I don't know how much, like, I guess Trey McBride helps, but if you've already got Zach Ertz, I feel like you would rather have a receiver. And I guess if 55 is your first pick, maybe there's not that huge difference making receiver available, but I don't know.
Now, to be fair, the 55 was the first pick because they added Marquise Brown, but that's even more of a negative for me because I don't think Marquise Brown was worth the first round. I think he's worth 55, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how they got their first round pick to, like, how Baltimore got their first round pick for that.
Right.
If they would have given up the second round pick and got, like, a corner or an edge rusher in their first round, and then drafted one of these other tight ends that we've been talking about, like, it's the same thing with running backs. Like, Trey McBride's a good player. I don't think there's a huge gap between him, Kate Otten, Jelani Woods, the Baltimore tight ends we talked about, Isaiah Likely. Even though Trey McBride is the best, I don't think the drop off is enough to get him at sec in the second, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I actually liked the Rams draft, even though it was pretty non-existent. I love Kyren Williams. I like Quentin Lake. I love Darion Kendrick. Now, again, fifth and sixth rounder guys aren't going to make a huge difference, but that's been part of why the Rams have been so good. And one of the things I find so interesting about them is they're trading their draft picks for high value positions like corner, quarterback. And they're hitting on, like, safety, offensive linemen, like guards and stuff, running backs. I know they actually drafted running backs relatively high. But, like, Quentin Lake and Darion Kendrick are two really good secondary players, so I think can play at least one of them, I think, is going to make significant contribution. I think both of them can play. So I like the Rams draft.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think their focus is not the draft. It's like, let's go get high-value positions that we know are going to work out. And so maybe, you know, people aren't paying as much attention to them. But, like, yeah, you know, it's good for, you know, the picks that they had.
Yeah. Let's go to the 49ers. Now, you know my thoughts. So I want to hear what you think about the 49ers draft.
Now, this is another, just really before we talk about the draft, they've put the San Francisco 49ers after the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, that makes no sense.
And there is no explanation for that.
None.
Yeah, so we will do it in the correct order. because what is CBS doing?
Because at least like Los Angeles, Las Vegas, there's like the same article,
yeah,
thing. Seattle's just a word,
right?
I know it's not just. I know it's like, but it's like not Spanish, and it's not an article,
right? And Francisco comes before Seattle.
Yes. So there's no. That doesn't make sense. We're gonna have a right. How would they get that wrong?
I don't know.
All right. Yeah.
Anywho.
What are your thoughts?
You know, it just is like, yeah, I guess good linebacker in the second round, running back in the third seems too high. You know, the only receiver you're getting is, you know, in the third round. I suppose they need a running back because they've got to replace Deebo Samuel one way or another. And if they think that's the guy, then I guess it makes sense. It's just like, is he going to be the guy, or could they get another guy to be enough of the guy later, which seems to me like probably what they should have done.
Here's the thing. And we were watching the draft. I freaked out when they drafted Tyrion Davis-Price. Sure, he's a great guy, great player. But San Francisco, it's just like the Jets. Like, that's not a weakness for them, running back. And also, Kyle Shanahan's system, it's the ultimate oxymoron. And you can tell me if I use the right thing there. But, like, his system is the ultimate, you don't need a running back in the league. And they keep drafting running backs. They drafted two last year. They keep spending money on them. And you can have a guy, literally any undrafted free agent, I would bet could get 800 yards. Like, literally any college running back could get at least 700 or 800 yards for the 49ers.
Right.
You just didn't need to do it. And you had other needs, like corner, edge, receiver. Everything is a need. I know it's a good team, but you needed everything. And I don't get it. It bugs me so much that they keep doing it.
Yeah.
Everything else I thought, like Drake Jackson, getting him at 61, especially when Cam Taylor-Britt wasn't available, I thought was a good pick. Tariq Castro-Fields from Penn State, I actually think he's really good. He's the second corner they drafted, but I would expect him to actually play more next year. And I like getting Brock Purdy. He was another guy who's a projected first-round pick. Getting him in the seventh, I know you have Trey Lance, so there's zero pressure on him. Come in. Let's say something happens to Trey Lance. Let's say he busts. You at least have a backup.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah, I love the Brock Purdy pick. I'm never going to hate a quarterback pick unless it's Kenny Pickett in the first round. No. I like Kastro Fields. Overall, I think they did well, but the continuing emphasis, it's like they're trying to prove that they're trying to outsmart everyone else, and you don't need to. I don't like it. Okay, let's go to Seattle. Just like San Francisco, they got Kenneth Walker in the second round. And that's not a problem that they have. They have, like, Rashawn Penny, a first-round running back they drafted, had a really good year last year. Chris Carson's a really good run. It's like the one position that's not a problem for Seattle. I think this is the third team we've said this about.
Right.
And Kenneth Walker's a really good player. You just didn't need that thing. They could have got Malik Willis here or Desmond Ridder.
That was the thing that I was going to say, is like whoever they're playing at quarterback was, as I assume, going to be whoever the Denver backup was that they traded. Like, that's not going to be the long-term answer. So why not get one of those Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder? I mean, even like Sam Howell or something, you could have got that in the fourth and like just see what happens.
At that point, yeah,
because you're not going to be good this year.
Yeah, because like I get. Like, I didn't want the Eagles to draft one, and Jalen Hurts is better than whoever Seattle's rolling out, Drew Lock. But I didn't want the Eagles to, because, like, next year they have Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, all these quarterbacks who are going to come in. Just build the roster, because you don't want to draft a quarterback when your team sucks. You want to draft a quarterback when you're bad, but you have a good roster, so you can take advantage of the rookie deal. And in the second round, it's worth it. Like, let's say Drew Lock's bad. Let's say they're both bad. Let's say Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder, whoever, Matt Corral, are terrible and Drew Lock sucks. Guess what? You're going to pick really high and you can get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud. So I don't get it. At this point, I will say Kobe Bryant is good. It's crazy he won the Thorpe Award instead of Ahmad Gardner on his own team.
Yeah.
But He is a really good player. Tariq Woolen is good. The mid-round corners they got, those are probably my favorite picks that they had. Tariq Woolen and Kobe Bryant. Abraham Lucas, I actually like as an offensive line. Like, every other pick I think is pretty good. Boye Mafe's a really, really good player. I love that pick. But it's just like the Kenny Pickett thing that just ruins your draft, the Kenneth Walker thing for me.
Yeah.
And again, Kenneth Walker's a really good player. I think as good of a runner as running specifically, I think he's better than Breece Hall. Breece Hall's probably a better player, but Kenneth Walker's probably a better runner.
So I feel like that's what you want in a running back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it stresses me out when teams do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
So best draft was Baltimore. Yeah. To recap.
Yeah.
Who do you think had the best?
I think probably Baltimore. You know, again, we have not talked about the Eagles as having good drafts for a very long time. I think there's certainly two or three. So
I think, yeah, top five, absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So I think, you know, good draft for them. You know, and I think, yeah, bottom. Yeah. Steelers, might be the bottom. We mentioned a few of those bad ones, but interesting draft this year.
Yeah. I loved it. Loved it. I'm excited for next year. And I'm excited for this football season. Appreciate Ty coming on. Do you have any closing thoughts? Before we go, before we sign off.
I'm sorry that you've been stressed about some of these other teams, but at least one of the teams that's stressing you out is the 49ers rival.
So that's true. Always that. That's true. Yeah, I guess I don't want Seattle to do good.
Right.
So I shouldn't be too upset about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so next episode, probably do some NBA playoffs. I'm writing an article about the blue bloods of college football, which is way long after basketball season, but that'll probably be done by the next episode. So I'll have some good stuff. Appreciate Ty for coming on. Appreciate everybody listening, and we will talk to you guys later.